Drug overdose deaths are increasing in Kentucky, according to the state's Office of Drug Control Policy, and some addicts start using at a very young age. In this special report, we learn of the profound impact early drug use can have on brain development. But first, Chad Lampe has this story of a recovering addict.
It started when Matt Lacefield was 8 years old.
And I drank one cup of beer, and it was gross, but I thought I was the coolest kid ever. And then a couple of years down the line, not until I was like 12 years old, did I ever try marijuana, and then it was just shot off from there. It was just prescription drugs and anything I could get my hands on, anything that would make me feel different. Yeah, I loved it.
So how does a 12-year-old get this stuff? It was his brother who introduced him to drugs, but Matt thinks he did it to protect him.
He was into harder stuff, too. He just didn't want me to be into it, you know. He thought he was being protective over me. At least he liked the feeling, I guess, of almost being a father figure since our dad died.
Matt's dad died in a car wreck. He was drinking and driving. Matt's mom moved a few times while he was growing up, making it tough on his schoolwork. But he didn't seem to have trouble finding drugs, from pot to amphetamines to opioids.
I had a friend, his mom had cancer, and she was literally giving us the oxy, and she didn't want them. And we would just do them like crazy.
Things kept spinning out of control.
I'd overdose 7 times by the time I was 15 years old.
Matt's repeated overdoses at such a young age led those treating him in hospitals to think that he was trying to kill himself. He wasn't forced into rehab until the last of his 7 overdoses.
I'd aspirated, I'd vomited, and went back in my lungs. They found me at the park in Butler County. The only thing I remember was partying and then waking up in intensive care with 2 tubes in my throat and them to tell me to cough on 3 because they were pumping my lungs from all that vomit. And they sent me to my first rehab after that.
At 15 years old, the first bout of rehab didn't take. Matt found himself next hitting meth hard.
I've been up for weeks at a time. Sometimes, you know, I looked like death. I felt like death. I'd been busted with a meth lab by the time I was 17 years old. I got busted again at 20 years old, and I did about a year on that in Warren County Detentional Center.
What does it feel like to feel like death?
Oh, man. Literally, like what I felt like when I say that is literally I felt like at any moment, if I was to lay down, I don't know if I'm going to wake up.
Matt's been in jail and rehab now twice, and it finally seems to have stuck. He's working as a counselor at a Paducah treatment facility and attending West Kentucky Community and Technical College. He wants to be a social worker and one day a therapist, but he says it's hard.
I'm slower than some people at reading and writing and comprehending sometimes, and I know that, but that's not going to hold me back.
There are many factors that make learning hard for Matt. He was shuffled from school to school at a young age, and he spent some time in the hospital, and then there was the drug use.
You know, they say whenever you start using drugs, your whole process of growing up just changes mentally. And if you start using drugs at 12 years old, you're stuck at the 12-year-old mind frame. You might grow up and be in a man's body, but they say you're stuck at that. So I feel like sometimes I still slip back and I still have childish ways. I think certain things are still silly. I still like to, just do some stuff like kids do. I like to play and stuff like that and have fun like they do, I guess. I don't know.
One person that has told Matt that his development may have stalled some when he started using drugs is Dr. Pat Withrow. Dr. Withrow is the director of outreach for Baptist Health Paducah. He's been talking to adolescents around the region with Matt about the impact of early drug use on brain development, and he joins me now. As we just learned from Matt about his journey from adolescent drug use to now being a 26-year-old and still kind of referencing some of those times as an adolescent, I'm hoping that you could talk more about what drug use can do to a brain in adolescence, and when does the brain actually mature?
Yeah, well, the brain actually does not mature until the mid-20s, you know, 22 to 27, I usually tell folks, but a lot of individuals say 25. But as far as substance abuse with an immature or adolescent brain, it's a very dangerous situation.
How do you present this to children so that they can actually understand how the brain works, how the chemistry of it works, and how it can delay or forever alter their development?
Basically, I have a series of MRI scans of normal brains. And you can look at this series of scans. It starts with a 5-year-old, 7-year-old, 10-year-old, 15-year-old, 17-year-old, and 20-year-old. And as you follow along with each individual scan, these are normal brains. But what you can see is a different color pattern, which evolves as maturation occurs. So that the 20-year-old brain, the last part that changes to the color blue in this particular example is the frontal lobe. So if I took my hand and put it on my forehead, this is the frontal and prefrontal cortex. This is where judgment is, and this is the last part of the brain to develop. And what I explain to adolescents is, you know, when you're 15 years old, you don't have a lot of judgment because that portion of your brain is not mature. Basically, an adolescent or a 15-year-old is functioning off the mid part of the top of the brain, which is the reflex brain. So they basically are taking risks. They thrill seek. They don't put a lot of thought in what they do. And I also explain to them, a 15-year-old without a mature brain, with the instinct that he does, it's the instinct reflex brain, talking to an adult with the mature brain, they could be talking about the same subject, though not communicating at all.
If you're trying to present to them in a classroom setting to give them reason, are there ways in which you can approach that to appeal to the midbrain?
Let me give you one caveat. Not all adolescents are the same. There have been some psychological studies that show that about 20% of kids really don't have a problem with this. They, for some reason, have good judgment. They have values. They seem to do right well. And if a parent has one of these, you know, bless their hearts, they're lucky. Then there's like 42% of these kids that are living in chaos all the time. And it's very difficult to get to them. You know, they also may not have a stable family at home, no family support of any consequence at all. But, you know, I think the thing that I say very frequently is knowledge is power. So if you know, if I can convince you that, you know, you are going to get smarter, you're going to get better, and you are just going right now with an instinct brain, you know that and take a little more time when you think about what you're about to involve yourself in. You can get yourself in real trouble. So you can't help it if your brain's not mature, but knowledge is power. No, it's not mature.
Do you tell the kids that 42% of you are in chaos whenever you present to them?
I do. I absolutely do. And I also tell the kids, I said, listen, I'm going to tell you this. I want you to try to find out where you are. You think about where you are. Don't raise your hand, but you think about where you are. Are you the 20% that are well-adjusted and get along well, or are you like the 32% that you do reasonably well until there's a traumatic event in your life, you know, like your love of your life, your girlfriend or boyfriend just broke up with you, or there was a divorce or a death, or your pet dies, or you have a problem with bullying or sexual orientation. You know, that might get you off of the nice smooth ride through adolescence. And then there's the other group that's destined and high risk for addiction and actually crime.
If I'm a parent listening to this, I would want to know, is there any genetic predisposition that would let you know that your child will be in the 20% or the 42%?
There are some genetic tendencies. I don't think you can do a genetic test. You know, you can't send your blood off and say, aha, you're going to be an alcoholic at age 24. But what we do know, especially with alcoholism in males, there's a definite tendency.
Are there any other behaviors, though, even if it's not a drug addiction, if it's a food addiction, a television addiction, a screen addiction, can those parlay into a drug addiction?
You know, many of these addictions work on the same principle as a drug addiction. So the short answer is yes. A lot of these addictions have to do with dopamine in the brain. Dopamine is the pleasure award center area. So if you have a lot of dopamine, you feel good about yourself. And, you know, that comes from running, from a lot of natural things that we do. Some of these drugs, especially the opioids, take the place of dopamine in your brain.
Now, would you tell those who had a life like Matt up until the age of 25 that there's hope?
Oh, there is hope. There is hope. One of the disturbing things, though, is the age of onset of substance abuse. The younger, the worse. The worse the prognosis is. Now, I'm not saying it's impossible. It's just harder. Have to work harder. You know, I think the risk of relapsing when an individual starts in middle school is really high. Just think about that. I mean, the brain is maturing the whole time, yet has probably been compromised with its ability to mature. And actually, IQ can fall with substance abuse. And we know schizophrenia, especially with marijuana, you know, that's a definite possibility. So there are a lot of considerations, but no, it's not hopeless. You know, I certainly wouldn't want to tell anyone that. Might be harder, but it's not hopeless.
Dr. Pat Withrow, the Director of Outreach for Baptist Health, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Chad.